please, please, can I take this Bible with me? Please. This request was directed at the hotel owner by a lady guest that was checking out. And this took place in an hotel in a town in Hungary in Eastern Europe. Before the hotel owner could answer, she continued by saying, "You see, several days ago when I booked in at your hotel, I was suffering from deep depression and I was contemplating taking my life. But in the drawer of the bedside cabinet in my room, I found this Bible and I felt constrained to open it and read it. And as I read, I soon realized that suicide is not the way out." And she read further, and she got to the point where she decided to follow Jesus, and she committed her life to him. Understandably, this book suddenly became very precious to her. Or shall I rather say, the contents of this book. So much so that she begged the hotel owner to allow her to take it home with her. It had become suddenly her most precious possession. Now, I'd like us just to have a closer look at this seemingly simple story. First of all, I'd like to point out to you that this story underlines the truth of what we read in Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of law of, pardon me, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It penetrates deeply. So the word of God that she read revealed who she was in God's sight: a sinner in need of salvation. The word of God, this living, active word, revealed that to her. Secondly, this story also proves the truth of Romans 1 verse 16, where we read, "The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe." The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit convicted her of her sin and also assured her of God's love for sinners and also enabled her to accept Jesus as her Savior, her sins were immediately forgiven and she inherited eternal life at that very moment. Wow. Indeed, what a gospel. What a gospel. What power. The third observation regarding this little story from Hungary: we have to ask ourselves, who on earth placed that Bible in that hotel room, that Bible that led to that lady's salvation? Now, the person who placed that Bible there belonged to an organization known as the Gideon's International. It's an international organization of Christian business and professional men and their wives. And what do they do? There's one goal written into our constitution, and that is to reach and win others for our Lord Jesus Christ. Plain and simple, as if anything could be more important. How do we do that as Gideons? Well, we distribute the word of God in what we call the traffic lanes of life. For example, hotels, not only in Hungary, here in Bloemfontein as well. Hospitals, schools, prisons, and various other places in the traffic lanes of life. And whenever we place the word, we try and add a word of witness at the same time. But apart from placing the word, Gideons love to share testimony with others on a one-on-one basis. We actually receive training to do that because it's not a skill which comes automatically to God's children. You need to skill yourself at it. Yeah. You know, the Gideons in Bloemfontein, and my camp in particular, there are three Gideon camps in Bloemfontein. My camp is responsible for a number of schools here in Bloem, but also the whole of Botshabelo. And we get to all the schools, not just we here in Bloemfontein, Gideons all over the world try their level best to get to every school every year, so that every grade 8, in the old term standard 6, pupil or learner as they call these days, as if they've become more intelligent, receives a copy of God's word in the form of a little pocket New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs, such as this one. Now, in May of this year, we undertook our annual visit to Botshabelo. And we split up into teams because there are at this point in time 17 schools in Botshabelo with a grade 8 class. 17. And my partner Cliff and I, we were assigned to Block J. And in Block J, there's a school. There were three that we had to visit that morning. But this particular school is known as Leratong Secondary School. And the headmaster there is a Mr. Moholo. Mr. Moholo. So when Cliff and I arrived at the school, we presented ourselves to Mr. Moholo, who had been expecting us, and he gave instructions for all the grade 8 classes to come together in the school quad so that we could speak to them in a single presentation. So we shared the gospel message with them and gave each one a copy of the New Testament in the language that they preferred, be it South Sotho or English. But before it dispersed, the headmaster stepped forward and spoke to them. And he said that in 1984, when he was at school in Tabanshu, the Gideons visited his school one morning, and he was one of the grade 8s who received a little Tswana testament from the Gideons. And by reading that testament, he got to the point where he could open his heart and invite Jesus in as his Savior. And he said there, in front of all the grade 8s and Cliff and I as the Gideons, that from that moment, his life changed. From the moment that Jesus became part of him, he changed. He was transformed to that very day. Wow. Wow. I need to make this observation to you. While some books inform and others may even reform, only the Bible can transform. That headmaster is a living proof of that. We move now from Bochabelo to Mexico, and I want to tell you the story of a young man. There's his picture and his testimony. A young man by the name, strange name of Furman, not Verman, Furman, F-E-R-M-I-N, Furman. Furman tells us that as a youngster, he and his younger brother and mother and mother's boyfriend lived together. But it was a very hostile atmosphere in the home. There was constant bickering, there was abuse, there was violence. And poor Furman was in a perpetual state of anxiety, fearful of what was to happen next in that hostile environment. There was a break-in at their home and everything was stolen. Furman says everything that he and his little brother possessed disappeared in an instant, not to be replaced. Soon after that, due to bad circumstances, they lost their home and they descended into the deep pit of abject poverty. Luckily for them, the next door neighbor built them a jackal, J-A-C-A-L. Don't worry, I read it here for the first time, so don't feel bad. A jackal is a house built with palm leaves and wooden poles. Not very grand, I would imagine. Palm trees and wooden poles. That was their new home. Their poverty was such that his mom had to go and work at the local rubbish dump, collecting whatever she could to help provide for her two boys. One day, she arrived home from the dump with a little New Testament in Spanish, the language of Mexico. She brought this home and it found its way into young Furman's hands. And he started reading this. Luckily, he could read because he had been attending school for some years. And he read through the entire New Testament. And he got to the back. And in these little Gideon New Testaments, on the second last page, we have what is known as the plan or the way of salvation. It's there for the convenience of those who want to find out what to do to invite Jesus into your heart. And it's a very useful plan. And he read through this, and the Holy Spirit gave him, as a young child, the understanding of what was written here, and he gave his life to Jesus. And he says to us in his testimony that he found the helps in the front of the Bible very useful. The Gideons, for the convenience of readers, have printed these helps under the heading Help in Time of Need in the front of these little these testaments. And there you find references to scriptures which speak into life's bad situations. I read here, if you're suffering abuse, there's a reference to two scriptures. If you're addicted, a reference to three scriptures. If you're afraid, if you're suffering anxiety, if you are bitter, if your friends fail you, if you have a gambling problem, if you're discouraged, etc., etc. A whole list of life's yucky problems. And remember I said to you, this guy suffered big time from anxiety. And blow me down, he found anxiety there. And there's a reference to Matthew 6, 31 and 35, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Psalm 46, verse 1. So he could read those scriptures which speak into the problem of anxiety and he could obtain peace, he says to us in his testimony. He also found that the knowledge he gleaned from reading God's word helped him when he spoke to other kids about Jesus. He could speak from a position of knowledge and authority. So he became a little evangelist in his situation in life. His mother became a Christian only several years later. And God provided her with a stable job. She could put the city dump behind her at last. And she got a job at an hotel where she advanced to the position of a cook. And she got a good, steady, regular income, so much so that she was able to buy and afford to buy a house into which she and her boys could move. Furman ends his testimony with these words, and I quote, "That testament from the Gideons came into my hands and changed my life and destiny. The work that Gideons do is precious," he says. Now you heard that a Bible that was found in the city dump and had to be cleaned off led to the salvation of a child and had a knock-on effect in his family and in his circle of friends. This proves the truth of Isaiah 55, verse 11. "So is my word that goes forth from my mouth," says the prophet Isaiah. "It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Isn't that true, so true, in Furman's life? I now want to ask you, as the good folk of St. John's, of which I'm very much part, what can you guys do for the Gideons? Or is it just an organization out there far removed from you? Hopefully not. I want to suggest there are three things that you could do for the Gideons. First and foremost, pray for the Gideons. Pray that the doors will remain open in the 199 countries around the world where the Gideons are active. Pray that the Gideons will continue to be faithful to their calling, to distribute the word, to witness to Jesus, to win souls for the kingdom of God. Pray too for the countries whose doors are closed to the Gideon ministry. These are mainly the radical Muslim countries of this world, places like Iran, Afghanistan, Algeria, Libya, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, and a handful of others. If God in answer to the prayers of his children could shatter the iron curtain, he can certainly open the doors in these countries that have closed doors at the moment. Your prayers would help that process along. Secondly, you can consider, if you are a professional or businessman, and of course a born-again Christian, you can consider joining the Gideons as a member, you and your wife. We would love that. You know, over the years, St. John's has contributed quite a number of Gideons. I'd like to mention a few names as they come to mind. Very few of you will remember Wally and Dorothy Smith. They were Gideons. Joe and Picky Heath. They were active Gideons for many years. Saki and Estelle Fourie. They are still Gideons in the Cape where they now live. Carlo and Therese Gagliano, for as long as they were members here. Carlo was also at one stage a national president of the Gideons. Dick Joubert, for many years, a very valuable member of our camp. So St. John's has done its thing, but I'm sad to say, Marita and I are the only ones at the moment. The only ones at the moment. So we are looking for stronger representation from St. John's. If you qualify but don't want to join, or if you do not qualify and want to be part of the Gideon ministry, you can sign up to be a friend of the Gideons. A friend of the Gideons. Which sort of commits you to prayer, and if you want to, a financial contribution. But that would be up to you. But you would then become part and parcel of this worldwide ministry by signing up as a friend. Now, if any of you has any interest in joining, either as a member or as a friend, please speak to me after the service. Thirdly, and I'm sorry to say, you know, many people in God's kingdom are shy to speak about money matters. Just to tighten it, please. Thank you. Shy to talk about money. But I have to tell you, Bibles don't fall out of the sky. They've got to be printed and bought before they can be distributed. Did you hear bought? That means bucks. It costs money to buy Bibles. We negotiate very good deals with printers around the world. We've used printers in China, but lately, for example, this little Bible was printed in India because the Gideons got, for the time being, the best deal from a mass printer in India. So we get the Bibles at the best possible price we can negotiate with the printers. But the point is, we have to pay for it. And because the demand worldwide for Bibles is so enormous, there's no way the Gideons themselves can supply sufficient funds to pay for all those Bibles. We have to rely on our churches and on friends of the Gideons, on bequests in wills to supplement the offerings given by the Gideons themselves in order to meet our commitments with the printers. Now, you know, St. John's, ever since I've been a Gideon, and that's Marita and I, that's 45 years now, exactly October this year, 45 years. In all those years, St. John's has been a regular supporter financially of the Gideons. And while I'm standing here in front of you, I need to acknowledge that on behalf of the Gideons and to say to St. John's, thank you so much for your contributions over the years. Every cent that has been given has been used for the purchase and distribution of God's holy word. Every cent. Every cent. The Gideons themselves pay their admin costs. Donations from outside are fully utilized for the purchase of scriptures. I want to close with a testimony. Now, I'm going to read it verbatim because I don't want to detract in any way from what this fellow by the name of Victor has written to us. And incidentally, all the testimonies that I share with you are fully substantiated. I have it in writing here with me today. Nothing has been made up. Nothing at all. Victor writes to us, I knew of the Gideon's Bible, but I have just discovered your website and realized that you are an organization that helps spread the gospel by sharing the word of God with people. So far, so good. The Gideon's Bible saved my life on 11 November 2003. I was at the lowest point in my life. I lost hope in everything and in the world. Absolutely nothing could renew my mind or give me hope. I was given a Gideon's Bible, like this one, outside Middlesex University in Enfield, London. Why outside? I'm interrupting myself. Why outside the university campus? Because the Gideons did not and could not get permission to distribute God's holy word on campus. So the Gideons stood at the entrances to the university, and as students filed in and out, they offered them these New Testaments, and most of the students accepted that. I read on. He's now received his little Bible from the Gideons. I read the whole book of Matthew, and no words can explain the calm feeling that flowed from inside me. I felt this peace that I had not felt in a long time. I had the best night's sleep ever. I woke up the next day full of confidence and hope. The key scripture that has been my anchor in life since that day is to live by faith, not by sight, referring to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He continues, my life has grown from a seed into a tree ever since. To keep my testimony short, I was told I would never have children. He should have joined St. John's. Never have children. But my faith has cured me. I am now blessed with two beautiful children, my son Jacob and my daughter Jada. My wife and I are truly blessed, and we give all praise and glory to God. And I thank him for his power and wisdom that has renewed my mind and transformed my life from the inside out. Thank you, and God bless everyone involved in sharing the word of God to the world. Now that I have found and discovered your organization, I will start supporting the work to help spread the gospel. I hope that by listening to me here this morning, you would be encouraged to read and study God's word more regularly and more diligently, perhaps, than up to now. To sort of equip yourself with the knowledge of God and to enable you to share that wisdom and especially the gospel message with other people. Remember what Jesus commands in Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That is directed to all believers, not just Duomenes. To all believers, you and me. By getting involved with the Gideons, supporting the Gideons, you can, in that way, fulfill this command known as the Great Commission. Known as the Great Commission. In closing, I hope that all of you would be able to say with the psalmist, as recorded in Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen. Thank you.